Don't miss Cole's.
The John Daly Show, sports.
And hi, everyone. It is Friday, October 30th. It is week 8 of the NFL season. We will examine the 6-0 teams. Are they that good? Who's the best one? And what is going on with players like Ryan Mallett and Greg Hardy and a few others? We will also have more on maybe the LA Chargers and the TV ratings as football, baseball, and basketball collide. And should the Brits be pissed at us? As always, our expert is Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Boychuk, good morning.
Good morning to you, my friend.
Yeah, okay, well, we're broadcasting on Friday, so let's dive into last night's game. The Pats, to me, they might be the best team in football. Brady was Brady last night, but that defense seemed to shine for me more than I thought they were ever going to. Was Chandler Jones that dominant, or did the Dolphins just have their first off day in 3 weeks? What do you think?
The Dolphins had their first off day in 3 weeks, and what's really concerning for the rest of the league is that the Patriots had two of their starting offensive linemen out. Nate Solder's out for the season. So if you could put, you know, your offensive line to me is the most important part of your football team, other than your quarterback, you could protect this guy. He got sacked a couple of times. But the thing I took out of this game, and you and I talked about this early in the season, and I said this to you off the record in June, they're a pissed off team. They're really upset about this whole deal with Deflategate, and they're going to take it out on the rest of the league. And you notice that Tom Brady's not talking to the media. The guys at NFL Network wanted to talk to him after the game, and he said no. He goes, I'm taking out everybody. I'm business as usual. This team might be one of the best teams in NFL history. Look at their schedule going throughout the rest of the season. Maybe they lose going to the Jets later on in the season. Other than that, this could be a repeat of 2007 when they went undefeated and lost to your Giants in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Okay. Best game of the week is going to be Packers going to Denver. Sunday night game, if this was in Green Bay, I would say a romp for the Pack, but because it's in Denver and with that really good defense of the Broncos, I say this is a toss-up, but I'm actually going to go with the Packers in this one.
Yeah, I'm going the other way. Only because, obviously, both teams are coming off of a bye, John, and the Packers' defense has got awful. They gave up almost 600 yards to the Chargers a couple of weeks ago in a game when Philip Rivers threw for over 500 yards in Green Bay. And I have to think that Denver worked on their running game a little bit, got Peyton Manning a little rest and stuff like that. But Denver's defense is awesome. Held the Raiders to 147 yards. The Raiders are at least scoring some points this season. I like Denver at home.
Okay. You know, this could be a great media game, too, because this game will most likely be up against the fifth game of the World Series. What are your thoughts on this? Because we talk a lot about the ratings between football and baseball.
Well, other than the New York market, I mean, look, baseball is very lucky they have the New York market, but we'll see what's going to happen. I mean, you know, look, as we speak and we do this broadcast, the Mets are down 2-0 to the Royals. So that game, even the fifth game, they could be down, 3-1 or what have you, and the series over. My thoughts are, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the Atlanta Falcons played the New Orleans Saints in the Thursday night game. Went up against a Game 5 deciding game between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets, the two biggest markets in the United States, and blew it away. I mean, it was like the baseball game wasn't even played. Look, you got two marquee teams in Denver and Green Bay. I think it blows away the fifth game of the World Series.
Okay. Interesting, you know, the MLB ratings did rise for Game 1 of the series. Granted, they were not facing off with football, but they were facing off with the NBA. Any take out of that?
Well, the NBA started their season, and I do know that Cleveland opened up against Chicago Bulls. That kind of was even with the World Series. But look, the New York market's huge, and New York's a big baseball town, and that's going to be something that's going to help the ratings. But it wasn't astronomical over the NBA, and that's got to concern baseball. You and I talked about it, that baseball is a regional sport, and it does well. But nationally, baseball ratings have gone up. The attendance is fantastic, but the ratings have dipped this year.
Okay. Have you opened up a car dealership? Because it sounds like you're taking tickets for the next service call. Is that what's going on back there?
No, I have guys working in my house, and I told them to be quiet, don't open any doors, but you know how that works. So I'm doing a home remodeling. For any of your listeners out there, if you want to, I've been married to my beautiful wife for 27 years. If you really want to challenge your marriage, blow up your house. Paint, cabinets, Oh, my God. Guys show up, guys don't show up. You say, I'm doing a radio show, keep the door shut, don't talk. They talk and open the door. So, you know, it just goes to show you that I'm Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get any respect.
All right, let's go. Monday night, Indy goes to Carolina, another unbeaten team. I'm inclined to say a Panther up here, but Indy always seems to surprise me, and I think Carolina's due for a letdown, even though I think they're a pretty good team defensively.
Well, we'll get in the last man standing later, and I'll let you know how I feel about it, but I'm gonna tease it right now. I think Carolina's the real deal, and they proved it to me a couple of weeks ago when they had 380-yard drives against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. And Cam Newton could really only throw to one guy in that game, and that was Greg Olsen. And he had every single defensive back, meaning Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, and Richard Sherman covering him, and they still won the game. It looked great last week. I like Carolina in this game.
Okay. Unbeaten Bengals go to Pittsburgh. Big Ben's supposed to be back. Bengals getting some defensive strength back as well. I see the Bengals taking this game. I like what they're doing. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm going the other way. I think Pittsburgh, with their defense really shut down Arizona. Their defense was good against Kansas City. But, again, when you're with your four-string quarterback, Landry Jones did great 2 weeks ago against Arizona, relieving Michael Vick. He's a four-string quarterback. You got Ben, you got Bruce Gradkowski who's injured. Michael Vick is third string. Landry Jones is fourth string. Now you get Ben, and they say 80%. It's an 80% of Ben. Well, I'll take 80% of Ben over 100% of most quarterbacks. I like Pittsburgh in this game because I think Pittsburgh knows if they lose to Cincinnati in this game, this is their mindset. They're playing for a wild card the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I just think that the Bengals realize that they're on the precipice of really having a great season, and they always seem to screw it up. And I've got to think that they're just saying, okay, this is the game we've got to win. And so I'm kind of going in that, even though they are on the road. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay,
well,
so undefeated teams.
Can I interject on that a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah.
We have followed the Bengals. You're a vociferous football fan. We followed the Bengals the last few years. Marvin Lewis, 5 straight years in the playoffs, 5 straight, you know, one of the defeats in the first round. And that concerns fans. The Bengals can go 15-1 or 16-0, but what do they do in that first round? And so it's not so much what they're going to do now, it's what they're going to do in the playoffs. Because this guy is Marvin Lewis, the head coach, is the modern-day Marty Schottenheimer, just can't win the playoffs. That's what everyone thinks about with Cincinnati. There's not a better team in this league, and I'm including the Patriots, John, that has better skill position players. I mean, from Tyler Eifert, a tight end, to their running backs with Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill, A.J. Green is probably the best receiver in the NFL, not named Calvin Johnson or Antonio Brown. So, I still like Pittsburgh in this game, but when you think of Cincinnati Bengals and you ask the diehard Cincinnati Bengals fans, and I talk to some of the guys, the beat writers at the end of that team, what do we do in the first round of the playoffs? That's all only thing on their mind.
Okay. So we just went through the undefeated teams. Who do you think is the best undefeated team so far?
I think it's the San Antonio team in the Lingerie League. I've never seen a better set of uniforms, and there's a collection of women on that team that could really, I mean, if they played in front of a prison, the guys would never commit a crime the rest of their life. They're fantastic. So I'm going to go with San Antonio.
And they are undefeated.
But since we're not talking about the Lingerie League, we're talking about the NFL, the Patriots. I mean, give me an argument, John, because like I said, you're the host of the show and you know football as well as I do. Give me an argument that it's not the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree. Especially after last night, and because I'm a Patriots fan, I kind of have a subjective point of view, which usually says I just don't think they're good enough. And I got to tell you, I just think the defense. I love the different schemes they're doing. I love what Matt Patricia does. I think it's, you know, I just think they're over exceeding every week, even with a lot of injuries that have happened. So I agree with you.
Last thing, if I could interject on this one too, I watched that Jets Patriots game last Sunday, and the Jets came out and attacked that game like it was their Super Bowl. And every time the Jets did something, and they did everything, they had gadget plays and their defense played great. Bill Belichick and his staff had an adjustment to counter, and it's. To me, Bill Belichick's the best coach in the league, not named Vince Lombardi. He's that good of a coach in making adjustments. And the Jets said they were dumbfounded. They said, we put together the best game plan we could, and every time we did something, they answered. So that when you have a coaching staff that matches the talent, a coaching staff that outmatches the talent, it's a recipe for major success. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch if they can go undefeated this year.
Okay, let's go to some other games. Cards visiting the Dog Pound. Are we overhyping the Cards? I mean, I thought they should have crushed the Ravens last week, and they nearly lost the game. They also stunk going to Pittsburgh. They're going to Cleveland. Maybe the Browns have a shot in this game.
I'm a big Josh McCown guy. The only problem I have with Josh McCown is he's not really good at audibilizing. That's cost him some games. But if he stands in the pocket, and you saw how he played against the Ravens a couple of weeks ago, he won AFC Player of the Week. He's throwing for over 300 yards a game. Here's the problem. He's got a bum shoulder, and he's taking limited snaps in practice. And it's a game-time decision, and I wouldn't be shocked if Johnny Manziel is playing. If Johnny Manziel is playing, they're going to blitz the crap out of this guy. And I think look, I agree with you. Are we overhyping the Cards? Yes. I think Carson Palmer's having a monster football year. I mean, he's going to be up there. I mean, right now, Tom Brady's running away with the MVP. He's got 19 touchdowns to one interception. Okay? Carson Palmer's going to be in the mix if he continues. The Browns have a shot. Yeah, they're at home. I mean, the NFL, the parity's back. Still like the Cardinals in this game.
Okay, you mentioned Johnny Manziel. He's not going to be punished for that roadside disturbance with his girlfriend. A friend from Cleveland told me that the region is fed up with him. They hope he ends his stay with the Brownies. May come sooner than later. But I think the organization's been very kind and patient with him, more so than the fans. What are you hearing, and does this weekend, if he does play, have bearing on whether Johnny Manziel sticks?
I talked to a guy in the NFL offices that deals with media, marketing, and merchandising. And you want to talk about just a massive public relations sell. The Philadelphia Eagles sold more jerseys with the name Tim Tebow on it than any other player they've had since Reggie White. And the guy lasted through the preseason, okay? Johnny Manziel is third in the league in jersey sales with Cleveland. Cleveland gets a part of that, okay? Yep. So the Cleveland management and ownership, they recognize that. So they're going to milk this because if he's the 22nd pick in the draft in 2014. So even if he's a bust, they're going to keep this guy around because he's selling merchandise. He's one of these guys that's polarizing that kids and whatever, who's ever out there, seems to latch on to. Yeah, they are fed up with him because he's one of these guys that, you know, you see people in your life, and John, you've dealt a million times, and there's that old adage, so some people just don't get it. He doesn't get it, okay? Mm-hmm. And but I still think he stays with the Browns, and they're not going to cut him this year. I think they give him one last shot next year in training camp because Josh McCown's 36 years old, and he's sort of like the Brian Hoyer they had last year. But I would not be shocked if they went after a free agent quarterback. Some of the guys are going to be in free agency next year, and he's going through the same thing. One more year for Johnny Manziel.
All right, we are talking with Eric Schneider. He's the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Okay, Seattle goes to Dallas. Cowboys look like a mess. They don't communicate. Greg Hardy and Dez Bryant do communicate, but they nearly come to blows. Joseph Randall may be facing disciplinary action relating to a gun incident now. Seattle, they need this win. It would get them to 500. But so far, they're 1-3 on the road. This might be the perfect time to visit Big D. I have Seattle in a romp. What do you think?
So do I. I mean, their defense is coming around. When they were on Thursday Night Football a week ago, they held the Niners to 3 points in San Francisco and just baffled Colin Kaepernick to the point where people were on Colin Kaepernick's bandwagon that are saying, okay, we should get rid of him. They're that good on defense. And what concerns me the most about Greg Hardy was the fact that the reason why he went ballistic was they took the lead and they kicked off to an ex-Cowboy named Dwayne Harris, who runs a kickoff back 100 yards for a touchdown to win the game. He walks up to, and they got video of this here. The listeners go on YouTube. He walks up to Rich Bisacci, who's a special teams coach, pushes him and knocks the clipboard down. Now, if I'm owning the team or I'm the coach, I'm fining him and suspending him right for that. That's insubordination on the utmost level. What does Jerry Jones do? I want to give him an extension. The Cowboys are a team I've never, ever seen in the history of sports. If there's ever been a pawn of a coach for an owner, it's Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones does the press releases, does the press conferences, announces the injury reports. He does everything with that team public relations-wise, and this is a big public relations stinker. Greg Hardy is a known, the domestic violence abuser, and you could see Dallas implode You know, they don't get Tony Romo back on November 22nd. They have some big games coming up, so this could be the start of the end for the Cowboys this season.
Mm. Okay, Giants go to the Saints. Hard to figure these two teams. Eli's not great in domes, so I kind of like the Saints in this game.
I like the Saints a lot in this game. They played well the last couple of weeks. I mean, they're putting their the Saints, it's always a defense. It's always Rob Ryan's defense that seems to be their crutch, and they look terrific against the Colts. The Colts are just, I don't know what, they're debacle this year. Them, the Lions, and the Kansas City Chiefs are my three most disappointing teams because they all made the playoffs last year. They all had 11 wins, and for whatever reason, they all stink. I like the Saints in this game.
All right, 49ers go to St. Louis. These are two other teams I've kind of given up on as far as trying to figure them out. If I had to guess, I would say St. Louis, but who knows?
Eric Snyder is a big advocate on defense. You and I always talk about defense. St. Louis' defense is the top 10 defense. And you got Todd Gurley. What a great story this guy is.
Yeah.
Tearing his knee up, he can't get in. He reminds me of Odell Beckham Jr. He started out late, never went to training camp, started. Now he's going to push. Him and Amari Cooper, the Raiders, are going to go head-to-head to see who wins Rookie of the Year. I like St. Louis. I think they're going to ground the ball and beat them.
Okay. Detroit and Kansas City, two teams on life support. They play in London. Now, if I'm a big NFL fan and I live in jolly old England, I would say to the colonies, stop sending us these lousy games. Although last week's game was a fun game with the Jags beating the Bills in a shootout. What's the thought process here of the teams that they actually send over there? Because they're really not sending over what I would call great games.
No, they don't. And the last year, I know it was the Raiders in Miami. It was a blow-up. I think the three games they had last year. The one game last year they had was Detroit and Atlanta. That was a game that cost Mike Smith his job with the unbelievable clock management for Fuse. So that was a great game. Last week's game was a great game. The bottom line is this. The Brits love our game. I mean, they sold those three games out this year in 12 minutes. So that's why the NFL is really contemplating putting a team there. At least Jacksonville's contemplating, breaking news, playing four of their games in London and four in Jacksonville. And that could happen next year. That's a developing story to look at. So it's not so much the teams are sending over. Detroit and Kansas City were 11-5 last year. They're sending two playoff teams from last year over there. And unfortunately, they stink. So it's probably going to be a good game. I like Kansas City in this game. I just think they have a little bit more on defense, but the great thing is that our game, football is the most popular sport in America by far, but it's the least popular of all our sports around the world. Hockey's more popular around the world than football. Baseball, obviously, and basketball is the most popular. Basketball is the most popular sport on the planet other than soccer. And in America, it's not. So it's good to see that the Brits like our sport. We're gonna have a game in Mexico City next year. Germany wants it. When Roger Goodell's legacy is all through, you could talk about his indiscretions with the courts and dealing with players. But the way he's marketing this game and the money he's made for this game, it'd be hard to match it in any other league.
Okay. Bucks go to Atlanta after an embarrassment in D.C. We're going to talk fantasy. I'm thinking Atlanta here. We'll discuss that later. But I see the Falcons huge in this game.
Yeah. I love you to death. But if your life depended on the Bucks beating and winning this game, you're a Pierce Brosnan lookalike. We're going to a funeral. Atlanta, huge. How do you blow a 24? You know what, John? I jump off the script sometimes and this and that, but if you're talking about coaches on the hot seat, let me tell you, a guy who jumped off it was Jay Gruden. The guy who jumped on is Lovie Smith. My two biggest guys on the hot seat are Lovie Smith and Ken Whisenhunt. Ken Whisenhunt is 4-29 in his last 33 head coaching, between Arizona Cardinals and Tennessee, and Lovie Smith has just been a disaster down there. This one's on Jameis Winston. I watched that game also. I have a big man cave here in my domicile and that's being blown up. And man, that was lose a 24-0. I don't care if we're on the road or home. Yeah. Atlanta big.
Okay. Chargers go to Baltimore. I never like the Chargers coming east, but at the same time, too, it's Baltimore. So I'm actually going to pick the Ravens in this one. I just don't like the Chargers on the road, even though I thought they played fairly well in Green Bay. Going further east, I don't think they have it. What do you think?
Well, other than the Raiders and the Jets, I looked at all the games this weekend another game we're going to talk about soon. This is the biggest toss-up of the weekend because the Chargers went to Baltimore last year and Baltimore was in a playoff run, and the Chargers went up there and Phillip Rivers lit him up and won a game at the end by throwing a touchdown pass with 10 seconds to go. That cost the Ravens a seed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Baltimore's obviously a worse team this year than they were last year, but they're playing good football. And they're going to have to win a game sooner or later. I just don't think they're a 1-7 team. But this is a coin flip. I'll go with the Ravens also.
Okay. Chargers may be moving north as opposed to just going east. We talk about this every week, whether they're going to be the L.A. Chargers. What are you hearing? Anything new this week?
The L.A. Chargers. I mean,
yeah.
When I heard Phillip Rivers' press conference after the Raider game, and congratulations to the Raider Nation for finally beating them down there. God, that's a long time coming. When he said that it's embarrassing that this is a second home game in a row, and I don't remember this in NFL history, that he had to go to a silent count, John, in his own stadium. Because there was at least 35,000 Raider fans. My brother was there. There was 35,000 Raider fans in a stadium that holds 58,000. They're gone. They have these public hearing meetings. And the Chargers, here's the last bullet point on this subject. The Chargers are the only team of the three teams, the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers, that have filed for relocation papers. What does that tell you? They're gone.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Vikings go to Soldier Field. I think the Vikings, I like their running game. I'm going to go with them even though they're playing in Chicago.
Upset special, like the Chicago Bears. I mean, Jay Cutler is quietly having a good season. Very quietly is having a good season. He's easy to pick on. Everyone calls him the word that they use for him around the league with players is the slang word for a female genitalia, okay? That's what they call him. He's not playing like one this year. I like him. I think, I like John Fox as a coach. You know, I've always said, and if I could jump up on this, the guy that took over the Denver Broncos, being Gary Kubiak, had a win right away, and he is, because he's taken over a team where Fox won 12 games, 13 games, and 12 games. The guy that takes over Los Angeles Dodgers, Don Mattingly won three straight division titles with a lot of talent. You got to win. You take John Fox, you put him in Chicago, a team that lost so many games, they lost more games last year within 7 points. I like them against the Vikings. The Vikings are a good team, but this is a game that I think they get derailed.
Okay. The Titans, as we mentioned before, they go to Houston. Two teams limping in here. Talk about the game, and then what's up with Ryan Mallett?
Well, you look at this is the worst division maybe in the history of football, the AFC South. The Colts are having an abysmal season. The Jaguars are the Jaguars, and then a nice win against Buffalo. Houston is very disappointing because they were 9-7 last year, and I had them as a wild card. Now you lose Arian Foster for the season with the Achilles. That guy just can't stay healthy. And then horrible. And then the Titans. I mean, we just mentioned Ken Wisenhunt, and that's a horrible head coach. Can't get that team in the right direction. So you got two teams limping in. I think they should just forfeit the game and give each team a tie. You know, not play it. Or maybe they could send them down to San Antonio. Maybe, hey, here's the thing.
Nice.
Maybe you could host this for reality. They can go out to San Antonio and play in the lingerie league and watch San Antonio beat their ass. That'd be great.
So now, do you want to do the play-by-play or the analysis for that?
I just want to get in a steel cage match with any one of those girls.
Talk about Ryan Mallett.
I'm married 27 years, John. It's the best 3 months of my life. I'm due for a hall pass when it comes to lingerie league. Ryan Mallett belongs in the lingerie league. This is, if you followed Hard Knocks, there was an episode where he missed a critical meeting in a practice, and they actually showed on camera him going into Bill O'Brien's office, the head coach, and apologizing. Now I'm hearing my sources tell me that he's missed numerous practices and meetings, and here's a kid with a lot of talent, super strong arm. How do you miss a team flight? I heard Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms say on Inside the NFL this week that they talked to hundreds of players that they played with and in the league, and none has ever missed a team flight, never missed a charter, unless it's something they got an accident, God forbid, going to the airport or something like that. I think he's done. I mean, there's some reports he wants to hook up with New England, but why? The kid's a head case. He wants to play. So you're going to go to New England and be third string? He had his best chance in the league to play with Houston because Bill O'Brien changes quarterbacks every week. So this is a sad story. He's a head case.
Yeah, and he was never like that in New England. that I remember.
Never like that in college at Arkansas. He's captain of the team. Graduated college. He just, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's something we'll find out, that there's something, you know, you don't know. I don't know anything about the guy. I do know he's not a good teammate. I remember when back a couple of weeks ago when Houston played Indianapolis on the Thursday night, he's having a good game. He gets injured. Brian Hoyer gets in, throws three touchdown passes, and Mallett doesn't go back in the game because he's clear to go back in, and he was sulking on the sideline. And Jim Nance and Phil Sims, who were calling the game, he pointed out many times. You know, so crazy.
Wow. Okay. We were talking with Eric Schneider. He's the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Vegas. Okay, fantasy time. I mentioned earlier I'm thinking the Falcons stack versus the Bucks. Tell me what you're thinking as far as quarterback.
I'll give you a twofer. I like Matt Ryan, and I love Carson Palmer. I mean, Carson Palmer's up there in fantasy, and he's got a very porous Browns defense. I don't know if Deshaun Gibson and Joe Hayden are going to play. Those are two starting defensive backs. Hayden's a Pro Bowler. They were limited in practice. I don't know if they're going to be, you know, even if they're 100%, they were getting torched this year. So take Carson Palmer, take Matt Ryan, and we could do pretty well in fantasy.
Okay, running back.
I like Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson, I talked about Jay Cutler. Look at Chris Johnson's year. There's a guy who's a journeyman playing with Arizona's offense is terrific this year. So I sort of stack it one way sometimes in fantasy. And I'll go wide receiver. I'll stick with it. I'll go Julio Jones.
Okay.
I don't like A.J. Green against Pittsburgh's team. I was thinking that way. I was thinking Cincinnati. I don't like Amari Cooper with the Raiders against the Jets. All right? I don't like Antonio Brown, my top guys. I don't like Antonio Brown. I will tell you this. I think Calvin Johnson could have a big game against Kansas City. So I'm giving some people some options out there. But if I choose one wide receiver, it would be Julio Jones against the Bucks defense.
You know, it's interesting, too, because Calvin Johnson's playing over in London, right? Isn't that the London
right.
game? Yeah, it's the London game.
6:30 in the morning, it's on live to everyone. It's not streamed.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that, John? We did that was interesting. Yahoo got a ton of millions of hits on that. I think it's great that everyone around the world can go on. I mean, that's the future, obviously. You've mentioned that a million times in books you've written and stuff like that, that I think in 15 years from now, I think everything's going to be on the Internet. Be no TVs.
Yeah, when you're talking, you know, 50% of the people who watch a live event are watching on a second screen. So even, you know, and I'm the same way too. So when I'm watching a game, I might be blogging or I might be looking and seeing what other people are saying, or I'm going to the red zone on my computer if I can't get it on my TV. So, I'm not surprised. I think Yahoo made a really good move, and obviously it looks like the NFL is looking to make some relationships with online companies like a Yahoo, which I got to think some of the media companies got to be a little concerned about, but... I thought it was a success, to be honest with you. What was interesting was that on some of the fantasy sports, they don't include the London game in there. So there's a chance Julio Jones might not be available to some folks. So if it's not Julio Jones, who would you say is the other wide receiver you'd pick?
Whew, boy. Calvin Johnson's playing in the game.
Okay.
I'm going to go Keenan Allen.
Oh, this, nice.
He leads the league in catches. Keenan Allen leads the league in catches. He's on a pace to have the all-time record in catches for a season. And I'm going tight end. I'm going both tight ends in the San Diego-Baltimore game. Crockett Gilmore is a guy who's quietly having a great year. Could be a Pro Bowl guy for Baltimore. And I like Antonio Gates is back this week, I believe. I just know that he's such a big part of Philip Rivers' repertoire that I think it's going to be fantastic.
How when you're gauging of who you're going to pick, do you look at whether they're playing home and away? Because for me, I usually think if you're an away team, you're not going to have the effect that you normally would have at home. Do you weigh that a lot?
No, I look at that. I look at the weather. You know, I look at matchups. I look at, for example, I do know that Cleveland's defense is horrible and porous, even when they're healthy. Now you got the two starting secondary guys out, and you got Carson Palmer coming in with John Brown and Larry Fitzgerald having great years. So it's an easy matchup. I know that the Chargers and the Ravens, even though Justin Forsett's having a decent year for Baltimore, they're throwing teams, and both defenses stink. They're in the 20s. So I look at ratings of where they are offense and defense, weather and matchups, and I think most people do the same.
Okay, how about your defense? What are you going to pick there?
Tough one this week, and you're going to lie. I like Seattle. I just think they're on all. No, Seattle lost to Dallas last year in Seattle.
Yep.
And Dallas, they said, Richard Sherman said they trash-talked us. The guys were texting us after the game, got our numbers. He goes, that's in our minds right now, okay? And I think Dez Bryant practice limited this week. He might play. But Matt Castle had a horrible game against the Giants in a time when he couldn't, so.
Okay. I know we didn't talk about this too much as far as Dez Bryant and Tony Romo, but with me, I think both those injuries are injuries that could be – that's going to either keep them off the field for a lot longer time, because there's going to be aggravating injuries that are just going to force them not to be able to run and throw correctly. I don't think they're coming back that soon. That's my guess.
I'll make you a prediction. If that Tony Romo's earliest time he can come back is November 22nd, which means they have about three games before that date. If they lose all three games, they go to 2-8 or something like that, he won't come back. There's no reason to bring him back. Here's an injury-prone guy, and he has a kind of collarbone injury that they said if it happens again, this is the second time, he's done. Remember, he's 35 years old. 35 is young to you and I, but in football, it's ancient almost. And it's a tough injury, and he's got a horrible back. There's no reason to bring him back at 2-8. Dez got a foot injury. It's one of those plantar foot. It's a real frustrating injury because it hurts and it doesn't hurt. I think he'll come back because he's Dez Bryant. He wants to play and make a name for himself because he's got a lot of incentives in his contract. But why would he come back if he's got lousy quarterbacks throwing to him?
Yeah, absolutely. Kicker.
Boy. I was going to go with Steven Gusecki. I'm going to go with Janikowski. Okay. I think the Raiders have a chance against the Jets. They're going to stay with them. But the Jets just don't allow a lot of touchdowns. And Janikowski, even though he had two major misses against Denver, he's still 11 out of 13, leads the league in touchbacks, and kicks over 50 yards. So I stick with Janikowski. I think he was third in fantasy last week with the points he got.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned you teased last man standing. Who is your last man standing team this week?
Can I give two or one, just one team?
No, let's give two, because the simple reason we're getting to the end of the season is a lot of people have used them up. So, yeah, go for two.
Seattle and Carolina. Carolina's on Monday night. It's their chance. They don't get a lot of Monday night games. It's their chance. I just think there's something wrong. There's something internally wrong with Indianapolis. And Seattle, I just mentioned, they can't. You know, they're going to know going into their game with Arizona. They're still two games behind Arizona. And if they lose this game and Arizona beats the Browns, which I think they will, they'll be three games behind. They're playing for a wild card, and it's, you know, you don't want to go to Green Bay in the first round.
No, that's for sure. All right. Well, another great week of controversy and intrigue here. We'll follow up next week. We've been talking with Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Boychuk, thanks. Make sure to get that renovation done soon.
Yeah, who's your analyst when you do the lingerie league? Who's your color guy?
I try to bring in somebody. I'm trying to bring in Dave Gomes, who wins all the time on fantasy football, and you're his body double, so I can bring you in if anything happens to Dave Gomes.
Right. Well, I think it's almost like you're Joe Franklin, the old Joe Franklin show. And you bring in like a clown or something like that, or a puppeteer. I mean, you look great, buddy. Hang in there. You're going to get your shot one day. Trust me. All right?
Thanks, big boy. That's why I keep you around, because you're the one that's going to get me there.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great week. Enjoy the games.
Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right. And, folks, thanks for checking in with us. We'll talk to you next week.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.
Don't miss Kohl's 50% off sale going on now. You'll find 50% off throughout the store Thursday through Saturday.
like 50% off sweaters and outerwear for the family. And everyone gets $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Plus, Kohl's Yes to You Rewards members take an extra 20% off and earn triple points. Not a member? Enroll at Kohl's.com/rewards and start earning today. Kohl's, select styles, some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.